Good morning, friends. This is Joel Martin with you for the Everlasting Word. Now, today's message, we're going to be in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And the thought for today's message is to be thankful in all things. Now, it is very easy for us to be thankful when things are going our way, when God has answered prayers, when he's answered prayers in a lot of ways, the way that we expected the prayers to be answered. It's easy to be thankful in that way. But the Bible teaches us to be thankful in all things. And human nature is to focus on the negative. Well, we've got to learn to set our affections on things above and be thankful for all things. Now, as we look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we will begin reading with verse 17. And verse 17 is a very familiar verse. It's a very short verse, but it is a verse that I'm afraid that we often overlook it. And we take it for granted, and we truly don't understand the depth of what Paul is saying here in this short little verse. For in verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. Now, we've heard that verse, and we've heard that stated over and over many times by good God-fearing preachers, by good God-fearing Sunday school teachers. But do we truly understand the depth of what Paul is truly saying here? What he's truly saying here is our communication line with God is not to cease. Prayer is our communication line with God, and that is not to cease. For people, you'll hear it taught sometimes that we're to have a continual prayer on our heart. But see, Jesus taught in Matthew 26, 41, he told Peter, James, and John in Matthew 26, 41, when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So, yes, they were in an extreme circumstance here in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter, James, and John did not realize how extreme that circumstance is. And oftentimes, you and I don't understand how extreme our circumstance is in the spiritual battle that we're fighting and how much temptation is coming our way. What defends us from temptation is our prayer life with God, that communication line is not broken, and we are praying without ceasing. Now, in Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6, Jesus taught there, he says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they shall have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. In other words, we're to have a prayer life that will not cease, whether we're having a continual prayer in our heart, or we're to have that place where that secret place where we go to daily on a schedule where we pray, where we cry out to God. And if we truly think about what prayer is about, that is an opportunity for us to carry all our cares to the Lord. Lord. We're to dump out all our cares, cast all our cares upon Him, for He careth for us. That is our opportunity to do that. That is our opportunity to cast everything upon Him, to share our burdens with Him, to give Him everything, to lay it at His feet, and so that we not have it to carry that burden upon ourselves, that we give that burden unto our Lord. That is our opportunity. But when we think about it, why would you stop praying? Why would your prayer life cease? Well, the first thing is there's sin in our life. There's come some kind of sin, but that is between us and God, and that has caused our prayer life to stop. Another reason that someone might stop praying is a prayer that they've prayed, an issue that they've prayed about over and over and over, and we begin to think that God should have answered that prayer by now, and we become frustrated, and we become irritated, and we become bitter, and therefore we stop praying. So in those instances, we need to take a step back and examine our prayer life and see whether we're praying amiss or whether we're praying in God's will. For Jesus taught His disciples to pray according to God's will. Prayer is designed for us to communicate with God and for us to become more Christ-like each and every day, meaning that we pray more and more and more according to God's will. So we really need to take a step back and examine our prayer life and see whether we're praying selfish prayers, whether we're praying according to our own wants, our own desires, or whether we're praying according to God's will. So those are some reasons that someone might cease in their prayer life. And then it goes on in verse 18, it says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, as I said on the onset of the message, that human nature is to focus on the negative. For sometimes we our prayer life might stop because there might be something in our life that has not worked out the way that we thought it should. It worked out in a way that made us bitter, made us angry, or whatever, and we continually focus on that, and we're not thankful for the good things and the blessings and the hand of God that has obviously been in our life. And a lot of times that we miss the fact that that thing that didn't work out according to the way we wanted it to, might be a tool that God is using to shape and to mold us into what He wants us to be. For oftentimes, those bad things that have happened to us, if we don't grow bitter and we use it as a tool to grow closer to God and commune more with Him, it is something that God is using to shape and to mold us to be more like His only begotten Son, so that we would be more of a shining light to a lost and a dying world. For see, Romans 8:28 tells us that, and again, very familiar scripture, and it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." First, we must love God. And we must be called according to His purpose, meaning we must be born again. And all things, all things will work for the good. The good things, the bad things. And we are to be thankful. And we are to give thanks in everything. For it goes on, it says, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So if we're not giving thanks in all things, we're being contrary to the will of God. We're out of God's will. For we need to learn to give thanks for all things. For that is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you and I. And then it says, quench not the Spirit. Well, if we stop and think about it, if our prayer life has ceased and we're not thankful in all things, guess what we've done? We have quenched the Spirit in our life. And unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians walking this earth that have quenched the Spirit in their life. The very thing that Satan wants in our life is to quench the presence of the Holy Spirit. Us knowing that the Holy Spirit is with us, that He's leading us and He's guiding us. Then that's the very thing that Satan wants us to do. He wants our prayer life to cease. He wants us to not be thankful in all things. Therefore, it will quench the Spirit in our life and us the reality of the Spirit leading us and guiding us and communing with us is gone. That does not mean we've lost our salvation. No, once you're truly born again, you are sealed into the day of redemption. But our communion with God has ceased, and that's the very thing that Satan wants us to happen to us, and therefore we're leading a defeated life. So if our prayer life has ceased and we're not thankful in all things, we have quenched the Spirit. And then it goes on and it says, despise not prophesying. In verse 21, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. What does prove all things mean? That means measure everything against the Word of God. Try the spirits, measure everything against the Word of God. And it says, hold fast to that which is good. What does that imply? That means there's going to be a struggle in your life of good and evil. There's going to be a mighty struggle. There's going to be a mighty spiritual warfare against good and evil. And hold fast means that we are to get in God's Word. We are to bury ourselves in God's Word. We are to pray without ceasing so that we can hold fast when those evil times comes, when those temptations come, when those things comes against us, that we can be as the man that built his house on the rock, and when the storms come, we can hold fast to that which is good. Now, we as human beings do not determine what is good. We do not determine what is good in our sight, for we let the Word of God teach us what is good. For we live in a world that wants to determine themselves what's good, what's bad. We very much live in a world that what is right seems wrong and what is wrong seems right, because people have took it upon themselves to determine what is good. And friends, our very hearts are evil, and we need to let God's Word teach us what is good. And then it goes on, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. In other words, when we sense evil, when we see evil, we are to abstain from it. We are to flee from it. And this human nature wants to say, oh, I can handle it. And I'm probably the most guiltiest person walking on this earth as far as when I see evil. So, oh, that's not going to bother me. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. It says, abstain from all appearance of evil. And then it goes on in verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, He's coming again one day. And friends, we need to be prepared for His coming, but we need to be thankful in all things. And do not let your prayer life cease. So friends, that is the message today. I hope something has been said that has been a help for you. My time is up. And I will be back with you next week. This is Joel Martin.